Let us pray. O Lord, your word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. Help us to cherish it, to use it, to believe it, and to live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. The word of God that we would focus on is from the epistle lesson, and it is from those words of Timothy, or to Timothy, from the third chapter, beginning at the 14th verse, where it says this, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And then we have this verse that I know a lot of boys and girls at St. Lawrence and perhaps otherwise know by heart. It's one of our legacy verses. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says this, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." And then verse 17 concludes the thought, "That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. So, in case you haven't figured it out yet, we're going to be talking about something being unchained. I think throughout the words and through the songs and the scriptures and Brenda's children's lesson and so forth, the message of chains and being unchained has been unmistakable. And as she referenced in the children's lesson, this perhaps might give you an idea of what one of those chain Bibles may have looked like. Now, the thought of a Bible especially being chained may, on the one hand, bring with it a thought of trying to keep it from people, but it very well may be that this concept was to preserve it because there were so few copies, as was mentioned. I'm going to ask you to take out of the in front of you, I know there's not one for everybody, but I do want you to pull out a Bible. I'm going to be holding this, I think, for the whole message. And I'm going to invite you to do that as well. You don't necessarily have to open it at all. But I just want you to have it in your hands or between or close to you. If some of you brought your own Bibles today, I know you're not really Lutheran, but thank you. That's awesome. And the reason that we're going to do that is because our first of this sermon series, which is going to last through the month of October, there's 5 Sundays this year in October, and it's going to be unchained. And today we get to talk about Scripture unchained. Next week, grace unchained, faith unchained, Christ unchained, and ultimately life unchained. But thinking of Scripture unchained. You see, the reason apparently it needed to be chained was because there were so few copies of it. We just kind of take for granted, don't we, that we have access to a Bible. In fact, we probably have thrown away or gotten rid of more Bibles than millions of people have ever touched in their lives. You see, the Word of God is something that from the very beginning, God has been very intentionally unchaining in the best sense of the word so that it can, in fact, have the effect and blessing in the lives of as many people as possible throughout the course of time. So let's talk about this book that's in your hands. It's called the Bible, but it's not just a single book. It's actually a collection of Boys and girls, how many? How many total books in the Bible? Somebody said 66. Somebody said some other things too, but 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, written by some 40 different people over the course of some 1,600 years. From the time of Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, and his time frame was approximately 1,500 BC, until the last book was written in about 100 AD by the Apostle John, the book of Revelation. It was written by people, each with their own personality, with their own style, with their own vocabulary, with their own learning and training and education and research and everything that makes an individual. And yet at the same time, there is only one author to this amazing book. And that author is, in fact, God himself, who through the power of the Holy Spirit carried people along to write what they did. In our reading to Timothy today, that verse 16 said what? It said, all scripture is breathed out by God. Take a deep breath, if you would, and hold it. And release. That's the image of how we have this book today. That it was through God's breathing out that his servants wrote down what they wrote. No, they weren't listening to a little dictation from an angel on their shoulder or hearing some voice in which they just kind of blindly wrote whatever they heard. No. No, God used all of their individuality, and yet at the same time, he guided so that what they wrote was in fact his very word. The inspired, inerrant word of God. Now, this is an article of faith. There's no question about it. It cannot be scientifically proven. And yet, at the very same time, the history of how it is that we have this book is nothing short of miraculous, guided by God's providence and direction. But the testimony, the real proof, if you were, of this book being God's word is in the hearts and the lives of those who have been touched by it, who have come to know it and understand it, who have been saved by his word. And if you have had that experience, you know that that is the most powerful proof of all, of a changed life, of freedom from the chains that would bind us, and an excitement and a joy and a love for the Lord and for neighbor and for living as God calls us to. A few facts. The Bible, true or false, boys and girls, true or false, the Bible was originally written in English. You've been educated well. The original languages, Moses and the other Old Testament writers wrote in Hebrew and some Aramaic, and the New Testament in Greek. This book has been translated. God has used the gift of language and translation to unchain the power of the scriptures so that it could be released in people's lives who otherwise wouldn't understand what it says. The history of the translation of the Bible is an amazing thing in and of itself. By the way, you're probably aware there are places you can find this kind of information, not the least of which is a relatively new museum down in Washington, D.C. Eighth graders, I think you get a chance to go there. The Bible Museum, or the Museum of the Bible. By the way, one of our former LCMS seminary professors and pastors is one of the directors of that museum. And so what an amazing blessing that museum is to try to lay out so many aspects of how we have the Bible that we do. But it's been translated. In fact, it's been translated, the entire Bible, in more than 700 languages. The New Testament alone has been translated into over 2,000 languages, and some portion of the scriptures has been translated into over 3,000 different languages. A group like Lutheran Bible Translators and many others like it, their mission is to get the Word of God into the language, the native tongue of every single people, group, and language that there is on earth. Wow. Imagine somebody's life calling to take the Word of God and get it into a language that otherwise would not have Scripture in their native tongue. God bless them, and may we support all of those efforts. Speaking of translating the Bible, one of the things that Martin Luther, even apart from his work with the Reformation and theology and so forth, is the work that he put into of translating from the original languages, the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, the Bible into the language of his people in his day in Germany. And they say that his translation was one of the key things that helped to unify and codify the German language and cause that country to have a unity that it never had before. But most importantly, that the people could read God's word for themselves. They did not have to rely on someone else to interpret it and to read it to them because it was in the Latin at the time. And so God used someone like Luther and all kinds of translators to unchain God's word so that you and me could have this book in our own language. You know, there's literally hundreds of different versions of this book. Again, demonstrating the importance of this word of God to us and how God's at work. You heard the reading from the gospel lesson about when Jesus was in the synagogue in his day. He was in his hometown of Nazareth, and he went as he did every week. Imagine that, worshiping every week on the Sabbath, going to the house of God, and there to hear God's word read. And in this case, they actually gave him the scroll so that he could read. And it says he opened it to the place, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. You see, there weren't bound books. They were on scrolls that were either parchment or papyrus. And there were no chapters and verses designated. But it says he found the place in the scroll where it says what we would now call Isaiah chapter 61. And he read the point where it talked about the Messiah to come. Written some 750 years previous, he read the part where Isaiah wrote by the power of the Holy Spirit inspiration, where it talked about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has appointed me to proclaim good news, to open the eyes of the blind, to preach release to those who are captive. And then Jesus sat down and you heard what happened. Everybody was looking at him and he said, today in your hearing, this scripture is fulfilled. Jesus said, I am the one that the word of God is talking about. If you want to hear how the people responded, keep reading in Luke chapter 4 afterwards. You see, this book has had to be copied painstakingly. When the parchments and the papyrus would wear out, they needed to have more copies. You know how they did that? By hand. There would be somebody, in some cases, at the front of a room, a scriptorium, and a bunch of scribes, and the person would read word for word, and your job would be to write it down. Do you know how many words there are in Scripture? I thought that was a pretty good guess, by the way, by somebody. I didn't quite catch who that was who said 100,000. It's estimated that there's probably some 800,000 words in the Scriptures in English. And in terms of actual letters, characters, probably some 3.1 million. How long do you think it takes to hand copy a Bible? Do you realize that God worked that out so that you would have this copy in front of you today? That over the centuries, he made sure that there were people who could think of nothing better to do, if you will, than to dedicate their life to transmitting the Scriptures and copying it down so that this would go on for as long as there's time. Thanks be to God. This book is the best-selling book of all time. By a long shot, it's not even close. It is estimated that today there are purchased and donated some 100 million copies a year. And that over the course of time, there's been some 5 billion copies of the Scriptures that have been produced. Can you imagine? All for you. Because God wants his word unchained. God has made it possible for us to have the word that we can read it, that we can understand it, that we can grow by it. Now, it's true, there's so much in here that one person can never fully grasp it all. And yet at the same time, the message of the Scriptures is so simple that even the youngest of the children that were up here this morning is able to summarize the whole message of this book in just a phrase. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And yet there are theologians and doctors who have studied the Scriptures their entire life, who have great learning, and yet they can't understand it completely. Yes, it has directions and instructions for life. It is composed of what is called the law, God's commands to you and me, not the least of which is the Ten Commandments, which are recorded in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5 and repeated throughout Scripture. They are, in fact, on our consciences and in our hearts as God has placed them into all people. There are instructions for daily living, for how we have relationships with people, with our spouse, with our children, with our parents, with our colleagues, with our neighbors, with our friends, with our bosses, with our employees, with our rulers, with our governments, and how we're supposed to live our lives. It's all here. Some have used the acronym of the word B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. But as being the basic instructions before leaving Earth. You've heard that one before? And I think you can say that that's true. However, if that's all that the Word of God is viewed as being an owner's guide, an instruction manual of how you live your life or of what you're supposed to do, then the whole point of the Scriptures is missed. The central point of the Scriptures is missed because not a single person is able to carry out the instructions, the law, the guidance perfectly. Nobody knew that perhaps more powerfully than Martin Luther. He felt the weight of God's righteousness wearing and bearing down on him such that he felt the pangs of hell itself, being isolated from God, feeling that God was always angry at him and going to punish him, so he would punish himself lest so that God might have mercy on him. Until by the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth of God's word was unchained in his life, and he came to believe and accept what Scripture teaches, that there is a righteousness from God apart from works of law by which a person is saved. By grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And that changed his life. That changed the world. And we have that. John says it in his gospel. He says, you know, if I were to write down, or if everything that Jesus did were to be written down, I suppose the world could not contain the books. Yes, there are figures of speech, including hyperbole in Scripture. But at the same time, John goes on to say, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. That's what it means for Scripture to be unchained, that you and I have life in his name. And yet, how often do we leave our Bibles as if they're chained to the desk or the shelf, as if we're blocked from them on our phones or our computers, as if we don't have time for them, or we don't understand them, or as if they can't apply to our lives today? They were written so long ago in a different language, in a different time and place, as if they're still chained. And yet the Holy Spirit says no. The Scriptures are for you. Even as Jesus has unchained you from your sins, so God's word is unchained in your life, so that you are able not just to serve the Lord, not just to love your neighbor as yourself, but to experience the peace and the joy that comes from having your Savior, Jesus. And so I invite you to join with me now in reading those words from Timothy together, where St. Paul writes to him and says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And then some of you know it by heart, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.